Anyway, my point is, as we read through these things, we see some verses that stand out now that we understand that rightly dividing means what it means. But otherwise, they don't stand out. You don't even see them. You don't recognize them. These verses by themselves wouldn't be enough to maybe help somebody see what's going on. But once you understand about the rightly dividing with Paul only type stuff, then these verses stand out to us. And it's, I guess it has to do with having our eyes enlightened and being able to see what's going on, not only in this world and in this country and in our lives and in our families' lives, but to even see what's going on within this miraculous book that we have here. So, we notice in verse 4 of chapter 21, this is where Paul goes to Jerusalem, and he's been told not to. And I've heard pastor after pastor after pastor attack Paul on this thing, saying, see, here's where Paul disobeyed God and disobeyed the Spirit of God and went on to Jerusalem anyway. And yet we see in verse 4 that the Spirit of God did not tell Paul not to go. What it says in verse 4, we're repeating this because a couple of you weren't here this morning. It says in verse 4, we tarried there 7 days. Who said, these disciples, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem? It's not the Spirit that says that. It just says, said to Paul through the Spirit, which in itself is an odd thing. It's a hard thing. But it's still, it can't be God telling him not to go, because, let's see, where was it at here? It was in Acts 23. Where Paul is told by the Lord in verse 11, Acts 23:11, and the night following the Lord's following, this Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. See, now why would God tell Paul to be of good cheer if he did what he was not supposed to do? For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, which is exactly what he did, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So this whole thing is about Paul bearing witness, and Paul himself says, back to 21, he says, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem. So these people were trying to talk Paul into not going. I said it right. People are trying to talk Paul into not going. That was right. Even this Agabus guy comes along in verse 10, this prophet Agabus, and says, at least he was right when he said, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and to deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, he was right there. And he was saying, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Why would the Holy Ghost say to Paul through Agabus not to go, or that it's going to be a rough time, and then say in verse 4, not to go? So we just the clearness is very simple when you read verse 4 very slowly and simply. Okay, so we get into verse 21, and we see a tremendously key verse through any of this rightly dividing stuff, especially in Corinthians, and here in Acts especially as well. You know, these people always, they're talking about when did the church begin. Well, it began in 2. Well, it began in 8. Well, it began in 13. Well, it began in 18. And because when did it go strictly to the Gentiles? You can't get doctrine out of Acts. And here's why. Verse 21. And they are informed of thee. Go back to verse 20 to see who the they is. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, who's the they? Okay, go back to 19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, go down to verse 18, talking to James, even Philip up here in verse 8 is involved here. Okay, so he says in 20, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So here are these Jews that they believe. Believe what? Remember, Jews had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, was the Son of God. Okay? So they could believe that, but they are still zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Now there's the key statement. Teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles. Paul is doing this Jewish science stuff in his messages because he's got Jews in the Gentile crowd. Okay. So that's what we talked about this morning. Paul goes down and goes through this purifying ritual. Why does he have to do that? Well, we talk about that in the sermon in the morning. And he's getting into the Jewish compound, or whatever they want to call it, I guess. And when they see him in there, oh, good, he gets a chance to present his testimony. Oh, he does? Well, yeah, it says in verse 27, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." So, we mentioned this morning that how much the Jews really hated the Gentiles, and they really did. So, we go through that up there when they're about to kill him in verse 31, and the whole city of Jerusalem is in an uproar. We compare this to the Christians today, not so much the mainline denominational Christians, because they're just into love, and they could care less about anything, soup kitchens and helping people, and you know, and not irritating them and not offending them, and so not even telling them the truth, just have them come in to their kitchens and to their safe haven so they can have more people so they get more government money or more, you know, like the guy out here in this neighboring town said, if you don't get involved in their soup kitchen, then you go to hell according to Jesus' teachings. Well, they're just mixed up. It's the Bible guys that get out there and pound in their sermons that Paul disobeyed against God and going to Paul only is a wrong thing. And well, here's what Paul teaches, and he's teaching to the Gentiles, he's not doing. He's teaching this to the Jews, and what we're doing here today is so wrong. And they get really upset. I mean, they really get upset at somebody who preaches Paul. Now, they don't get so upset at the mid-Acts guys. They really preach against them, but they don't get so upset at them because they see that they're having a great time and the people enjoy it and they like their music and their dress is fine and they don't care what the world does. They're just having a good time in the world, so there's no standards there. So they don't really irritate people as much. In fact, you can't even tell a Paul person visually. Their testimony is so poor with their music and their behavior and the way they dress and where they go and what they talk about. You really can't pick them out, that I've recognized anyway. But you get into this serious guy that's like a Jeremiah. Tells people that you're rejecting God's words. Even tell a King James guy, you know what, you're rejecting God's words when you don't rightly divide rightly. And look at Nehemiah. I mean, back to Jeremiah, even Jeremiah's own family tried to destroy him. Nehemiah, here's the guy that wanted to build up his wall, build up a wall around Jerusalem. What kind of Christians make these Bible guys mad? A guy that wants to build up his personal wall, or the wall around his family, and strengthen and be strong again. That's what makes people mad today. You get Moses, he made people mad. Jesus made people mad. Now, we see Paul makes people mad. Because they're all envious of what's going on. That's a whole other sermon. We've done that before. So, in fact, I left this verse out this morning. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lunch in here. Some, well, these pages are so thin. Oof to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. See, there's plural, so we're talking about individual assemblies. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. That's interesting, see? It isn't just the Jews that hated Gentiles. It's these other people. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So, do we not run across that ourselves? Same thing. This is why we're doing this, the day in the life of Paul. We run across things that we are dealing with. How many people do not want us to talk to their kids, to our grandkids, to their friends, to their husband, to their wife? Because if we do, we'll just stir things up. I did say to my soup, that I said, listen, if you get a hold of this King James thing and you get a hold of this rightly dividing Paul stuff and what's going on, when you find out what's really going on in your church, your life's going to change. And it isn't going to be, you know, for the better on the outward. You'll stir some mud, you know. So here we are. Paul is going to Jerusalem and he's going to get a chance. Getting back to Acts 21 here, the main part of the trail here. And he's going to get a chance to speak to these people. This is what Paul wanted. He said, listen, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem. So these pastors are saying God, Paul is disobeying God. They're just nuts. They're just like always, you know. So how far did we get this morning? I guess I didn't know. Did we make it to the... I don't remember getting it all the way to the end of 21. Did we get as far as... who wants to write down how far we got this morning? And they took Paul, and I think we only got as far as, looking at here, I think we only, somebody write up, how far did we get? We got to 21, all the Gentiles and Jews together. We got through the purifying crowd. Nobody's writing anything. Is anybody out there? This is a man that teaches. We did that. All the city was moved, took Paul and drew him out of the temple, for with the doors were shut. And as they were about to kill him, in verse 31, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band. Okay. And I think this is about as far as we got right in there. Is that right? Okay, you guys, here's your chance. Those that were here this morning, how far did we get in the scriptures this morning? Woof. There we go. Nobody's writing anything because nobody's there. Hello? Don't remember. Okay. Was that exciting, huh? Well, I'm pretty much knowing that pretty much I don't remember reading this bottom stuff on the sermon thing. So let's go to 30 to 31. Because we are talking about how people are reacting to Paul is how they react to us. Okay, so here we go. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came into the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. The whole town went nuts. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So I'm glad they stopped. Beating of Paul. I mean, there's a bunch of people beating Paul. Wow. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Now remember, people say that Paul wouldn't have had to go through this if he hadn't gone there like they thought, like they say God told him not to. Just mark that verse in 23. God was all right for him to be there. And Paul knew this is what was going to happen to him. 34, and some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. We talked about this one this morning. People come up with all sorts of different things to complain, but nobody can agree. 37, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before those days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Yeah, we got through this morning. And we had given him license, because we said it doesn't say when he had given him a license. It just says it, and when he had given him license, that's, you know, go ahead and do your thing, Paul. Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, that's as far as we got this morning. Okay, here we go. So he's speaking in the Hebrew tongue, so that ought to have been a surprise to him. Here we go. This is one of Paul's testimonies. Now, like I say, we've already read this a number of times. We talked about this, and we read about the purpose of Paul's ministry and the testimony of what really took place. But if you've heard it and you understand it totally, you can click it off and go and get your work done tonight. We're just going to read them again here. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Okay, so he's going to defend why he does what he does. Don't you ever try to defend why you say what you say and believe what you believe. We don't get that many opportunities, but when we do, and when they heard that he speak in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. See, we're not saying that we are different than everybody. We're just like them. We have been to church. We've done the church thing. We've studied the Baptist stuff. We've preached. We've been to services. We understand. We're just like you people out there. And I, in fact, with Paul, and I persecuted the way until the death, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. Paul was a rough guy. And as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So this is the details of Acts chapter 9, according to Paul. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay, now we have to stop there for a second. We've talked about this before, but I want to make sure it's understood. According to pastor people out there, verse 9 conflicts with chapter 9, verse 7. So this King James Bible must have some problems. Okay, let's look it up. Chapter 9, verse 7. There we go. Chapter 9, verse 7. Okay. And we see where it says, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So here it says, hearing a voice. And it says in Acts 22, they heard not the voice. Now, see, we got a conflict here. We got a problem. And rightly dividing won't fix this one, because they're both talking about the same event. It's very simple. Acts 9:7 says these guys heard a voice. But Paul is very clear in chapter 22, verse 9. He says, they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So, you go to, I think it's in John 12 or something, you go over there and you see where another scene similar to this, and at first somebody heard an angel, and then God spoke. So, this is very simple to explain. Well, what these guys heard was a voice, but it wasn't the voice of him that spoke to Paul. There, that's easy. That's simple. And I said in verse 10, chapter 22, and I said, What shall I do, Lord? And we always think it's interesting that Paul would call him Lord right off the bat. And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee of all things which I appointed for thee to do. Okay, so we know this. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Now, isn't that just quite the thing to picture here? And they that were with me saw indeed the light, but they heard not the voice. So now they're going to walk through this light. Paul can't see, but apparently these other people can. Okay, verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, of course, that's all we got going so far, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. and the same hour I looked up upon him. So he gets his sight back. Now here we go. We're going into, Paul actually had an experience for his salvational moment. Do we have to have a salvational experience like this? I mean, Paul was blinded and he was able to see again. Well, spiritually we know we were blinded and now we can see. We understand that. And God had specific things appointed for Paul to do in verse 10. Do we have specific appointed things that God would have us to do today? Well, he wants us to follow the will of God in our lives. And over time, we have discovered or we have seen where the will of God is following Paul. Live a life like Paul. Not imitating Paul, but follow Paul in in your manner of life. We are appointed to do that. That's our job as a Christian. Okay, simple as that. We're not called to be Paul or anything like that. Paul is our apostle. Paul is our teacher. Are we to imitate Paul and be everybody else's apostle? No, not at all. In fact, I think sometimes we all just probably spend too much time telling everybody. Okay, sound went distant. Oh, there we go. Uh-oh. Hope that wasn't, I guess it was probably quite a while, but there we go, much better. Hope you heard, at least heard the other stuff. It was distant. I sneezed, so I had to move the microphone. Oh, there's always something. Okay, so we're getting back to 22. We're looking at Ananias. We're not called to be Paul's. We're just called to follow Paul. And I was thinking that sometimes we spend too much time trying to be like Paul and preach to people. When all Paul asks us to do is to just to live a life to please God. When you get that down, go ahead and go after everybody else, kind of a thing, you know. And he said in verse 14, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, capital J, capital O, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. That's pretty good. That's pretty exciting. Paul was called, he was chosen, and he was chosen to know God's will, and he will see the risen Savior, and he will hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, why they throw this out and go back to Jesus in the Gospels, I understand. But why do they miss this? Why do they reject all this? Nobody's ever liked what Paul has taught. Even back in those days. But even today, the Bible-thumping guys just think these Paul guys are nuts. It could be a lot to do with the fact that their gurus has attacked hyper-dispensationalism. Could be the fact that some of the leaders of the mid-Acts group, some of the Paul guys, got into some really weird teachings. And it could be the fact that a lot of the mid-actors don't live the life that Paul's trying to teach them. They're just out there having a great time, having all this happiness and flesh happiness and ladies running the church and the men duly whopping around and their music is terrible and their sermons are nothing except about when a church began. And if somebody sends you a Bible study from a mid-actor, boy, are they long and complicated. That shows their brain. See, that, I'll say it again. My sermons are so simple. You guys have heard this stuff over and over and over. I'm still surprised you even show up. You should know this stuff. You don't need me to talk about this. We've been over these chapters before. But I just enjoy talking about what Paul's teaching to us. I enjoy this. I mean, I could do gospel messages. I've done them before. We could go back and do stuff out of Daniel and Ezekiel. I could always talk about Jeremiah and Nehemiah. I love those things. But that's not what's important to us. Paul's teachings, we could get into 1st and 2nd Peter. I could point out some of the changes and differences in there. We could get into the discussion about how these books belong to the tribulation. Well, we know that. And we could get into Revelation. We could come up with a Paulson version of Revelation. Well, Paulson's version of Revelation is just to read the thing as is. We got the Seventh-day Adventists out there. You got the JWs out there. Everybody knows the world's falling apart, so they go to these people because that's what they talk about. And the Seventh-day Adventists, I remember in Tushy, anybody know, nobody there from Tushy tonight, not surprising, is when they would put out these super nice brochures in the mail to all the people in Walla Walla and Touche, all these towns around there. Man, talk about having money in a ministry to hand that kind of quality stuff out so people show up. They provide babysitting. They just got the whole thing together. Mormons will help you with your stuff. I mean, they just got it together. But they're not teaching the stuff that needs to be taught, otherwise known as taught. Okay, let's get back on the trail here. So that's Paul's ministry, and we are to be a witness as well because we're going to follow Paul. But our job of a witness is what is in our life, how to walk as a Christian. Paul had a specific witness that he had to do. Okay, anyway. 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins? What is this? Do we get saved like Paul does? Calling on the name of the Lord. Well, here's this. Boy, this is quite a verse. Well, remember now, this is still all Jewish stuff. Remember what was told to the disciples in the Lord's Supper. I mean, and remember what John taught. All this stuff has taken place. And if he hadn't done these things, the Jews would have given him an ounce of respectability. Not that they did anyway. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, just remember, if we're going to look to Paul for baptismal proof, we've got to remember that he also had to lay his hands on him for them to receive the Holy Ghost. This is how it was with Paul. This is not how it is with us. 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Okay? That's good. That's interesting. See? And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I mean, Paul was right there. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Okay, wow. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. Now, see what we got going on there? How much do these guys hate the Gentiles? And they gave him audience unto this word. What word popped up and shut him down? I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Boom. They're done listening to Paul. Yeah. People ask you, are you a Christian? Where do you go to church? Well, I read my Bible, and I don't go to church anymore. I'm a Paul. I follow Paul's teaching. Paul, the word Paul, boom. And they're done with you. Well, I'm a King James guy. Boom. They're done with you. And what do they say? Away with such a fellow from the earth. Get out of this house. Get out of this room. You're not welcome around my kids. Here it comes. Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Wow. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, boy, they are just upset. Haven't you seen people go into fits because of what you've said? You know? I'm walking on thin ice. I've had another teacher ask me some questions and talk to me about some of the things they're having troubles in their families. And I'll tell you, if I just answered them like I did maybe 10 years ago, they would say, man, what are you talking about? And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Well, there you go. We go to a doctor, we want to get ourselves, have them check. Okay, so they scourge us. They beat us. Okay, why are you like this? Boosh. Why are you doing this? Why are you eating like this? Why are you so unhealthy? Boom. You know, scourging. That you might know wherefore they cried so against him. Come on, tell us what's going on here. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Ooh, stop the press here. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." And then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Okay, now where is this coming up with us? Well, hang on. Then straightway they departed from him, we should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid. It's like, to me, it's like for today, if somebody's all upset about what I say, and they say, "Well, they're going to the Lutheran church, blah, blah." I say, "Well, you know what? I've gone to Lutheran church since I was a kid." "You have?" "Well, yeah, I understand all this stuff. We had potlucks. We had Lutefisk and Lessa all the time. I loved every bit of it. It was great, you know, da-da-da-da." "Well, then maybe I shouldn't be so hard on you because, you know, kind of maybe we can still talk about this. I don't know." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom," this Roman thing. And Paul said, I was freeborn. Not born again, but freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Well, you don't do that to a fellow Christian. You know, some people get upset. Some people get upset as how we're treated as Paul following King James rightly dividing people. They don't have the hatred towards that. They think, well, you can believe what you want, and it's interesting the things you say, but I'm going to believe my thing, and you can do yours, and you want to go out and play a little tennis later? You know, they're not so upset about it. But these Bible guys, these Bible Baptist guys, these even these King James guys, they just get so uptight. Verse 30, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before him. Now what do we got going on now? Well, Paul's going to have another opportunity to present a testimony. Going to get to say it all over again. Maybe they'll listen to him. Maybe this time somebody will hear him. Let's see here, chapter 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias, this is the Ananias story. We know where this is going. Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. You know, that just made me realize, how are we doing for time? I've had my clock. Doing for time. You know, these stories could be taught to children without a problem. Just like the Moses stories, you know, and all the other guys out there, Joseph and all these stories. But I guess if I had the money and if I had the time and the youth and all that stuff, I guess I should write some stories, some Bible story books from Paul. You know, a whole book about Paul written for children. Here's what Paul went through, and that would be fun. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be nice to have? To give to the kids and the grandkids? Sure, it's all about Jesus, but it's Jesus through Paul. So let's put books out about Paul. Boy, that would be fun. And just take these stories. Maybe I'll do a... Here we go. Like I don't have enough to do already. I'll just do Bible stories, audio Bible stories for kids. And I'll basically just read these stories like we're doing and read it as simply and slowly and explain the stories and help the kids see what's going on here. And maybe some children out there, maybe some parents out there would allow their children or grandchildren, don't count on it, right, to listen to these stories of Paul by Paulson. I don't have a radio voice. I've got a mumbly, bumbly voice. Maybe some of you out there have a good voice, and you can read and put some excitement into it. Oh, it'd be fun to have some stuff like that. Let's get a couple of yeses out there. Wouldn't that be something to have around? Stories about Paul for children. That would be fun. We'll see. That would be a lot of fun. If I could get some of my kids at the school here, and I could invite them and the parents to story time with Paulson. And I'm going to tell them stories about this man named Paul. where he's from, what he used to do to Christians, and now what he's done, and he got to meet the Jesus, because we all, the little kids, know that Jesus died and rose again, because that happens at Christmas and Easter, you know. Well, here's what this guy, this is what happened to this guy when he tried to tell people what the risen Jesus taught to him. And boys and girls, they tried to kill him. Isn't that just sad? That would be fun. That would be really fun. I have to work on that one. I could charge $25 a story, and I could start making money and pull me out of my mess, and all. Wouldn't that just be exciting? Oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to sell the truth. I forgot about that. Ah, there it goes again. I can't sell my cassettes, my cassettes, there's an old word. I can't sell my music CDs, and I couldn't sell my stories to Paul, but that would sure be something to leave for my kids and grandkids. Of course, they're not little kids anymore, but other people's children. They don't hear about Paul. I did hear the other day what goes on in the Sunday school back in Tushy, and they're singing rock songs about the Psalms, and it's like, what, doesn't anybody want to teach these kids about Paul? I think we struck on something, folks. Wouldn't have to be that many stories. Might be a little tough. But hey, the Christmas story, they leave out the Christmas, as they call it, the Christmas story. A bunch of boys get killed because Jesus was born. Why don't they put that in the Christmas plays? So this, what happened to Paul? We're coming up here. There's going to be this conspiracy against Paul. Boys and girls, did you know that there were people out there that were not going to eat ever again until they could get rid of Paul? And in this day and age of violence in the schools and stuff, they need to realize that this is nothing new. Anyway, we'll see. So how far do we get? We got just a little bit into chapter 23. We will stop there. We will go on to the life of Paul. Another day in the life of Paul. He's in a place that everybody says he wasn't supposed to go. And he's given his testimony. And he's been rewarded for it. And we'll read more about it on Wednesday night. So chapter 23, Wednesday night. So good night, folks. I'm going to work on the idea of reading some stories to kids about Paul.